Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So it's Tuesday, February 10th, 2026, and I was just looking at the calendar. We're what, 3 full years into this whole new normal?
I think we can officially stop calling it new.
Right. It's just normal now. The whole
Yeah.
way we work has completely changed.
It really has. I mean, the macro data shows something like 25% of the entire US workforce is fully remote. And in some of the hubs we're talking about today, tech, finance, that number's way higher. It's not a trend, it's just the economy.
Which brings me to this stack of reports on my desk. We're diving into secure remote work infrastructure. And specifically, we've got this really granular data out of Orange County, California. Now, usually IT reports can be, well, let's be honest, they're a little
A
dry.
little, yeah.
But this stuff,
Yeah.
it reads like a warning flare. The whole idea is that the old office security perimeter, that invisible wall around the building, it's just gone.
It's completely vaporized. And what's left is this huge vulnerability gap that honestly most companies haven't even started to properly address.
There was one stat in here that just stopped me. It said that right now, in 2026, 68% of successful cyber attacks start on a compromised home network. 68%. Is that just a numbers game, or are home networks really that much weaker?
It's both, but it's mainly the weakness. Think about it. For decades, cybersecurity was fought at the corporate firewall. Companies spent millions building these digital fortresses,
Right.
but the employees aren't inside the fortress anymore. They're at home behind a $40 router they bought 5 years ago, and that router is the new front line.
So today we're going to unpack that. We're going from like smart refrigerators spying on accountants, which sounds crazy, but is a real thing,
Yeah.
all the way to military-grade encryption and this idea of zero trust.
Yep.
But let's start with that visual the sources use. It paints this picture of a senior accountant in Orange County. Walk me through that. Why is that specific scenario a nightmare?
Okay, so picture a house in, say, Irvine or Newport Beach.
Yeah.
You've got this high-level accountant dealing with super sensitive company financials. They're on their laptop at the dining table. But on that same Wi-Fi, you have their teenager upstairs, gaming, downloading mods from God knows where. You've got a smart doorbell, a smart thermostat.
All of them just chatting away on the same network.
Exactly. They're all just nodes on one flat network. And the gatekeeper for all of it is that consumer-grade router we mentioned. The source highlights this one detail that is so true. A router from 2019 that hasn't had a firmware update in 3 years.
Which, let's be real, is most people. I don't think I've ever logged into my router to update it.
Almost no one does, and that's the whole problem. That router probably has a default password or a known vulnerability that the manufacturer patched years ago, but the patch was never applied. So for a hacker, it's not a lock, it's a revolving door.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate. Let's say the teenager's gaming console gets hacked. Why does that matter to the accountant on their work laptop? Aren't those two separate things?
Physically, yes. Digitally, no. And this is where it gets scary. Most home networks are flat. Once an attacker is inside that Wi-Fi signal, they can see and talk to every other device. It's called lateral movement.
Lateral movement.
Yeah.
So the hacker gets into the smart fridge.
And then they scan a local network
Yeah.
and they see it, the work laptop. And unless that laptop is locked down with some serious enterprise protections, which we'll get to, the hacker uses that fridge as a stepping stone to jump right onto the corporate machine.
So that's the stepping stone idea from the report. It feels so invasive. It's like someone breaking into your garage just to get your Wi-Fi password to rob your neighbor.
That is a perfect analogy. And this is why the Orange County setting is so important here. You have this high concentration of valuable targets: law firms in Newport Beach, tech IP in Irvine, healthcare in Santa Ana.
And they're all working from home.
Precisely. If you're a criminal, why attack the fortress? It's so much easier to go after the partner's home Wi-Fi in Laguna Niguel, compromise their iPad, and just wait.
Okay, so the perimeter's gone. The accountant is working next to a potentially hostile smart device. Let's get specific on the threat constellation. The sources list a few attack types. First up is man in the middle. Sounds very cinematic.
It's less cinematic and more just opportunistic. If a home network is using an older, weaker security protocol, an attacker can literally position themselves between the user's laptop and the router.
They intercept the signal.
They don't just intercept it, they relay it.
Yeah.
So you think you're talking to your company's server, but you're actually talking to the hacker, and the hacker is talking to the server. They're just sitting in the middle, reading everything that goes back and
So
forth.
your login client data, it's all an open book to them.
If it's not inside a separate encrypted tunnel, yes, it's like sending a postcard. Anyone who handles it can read it.
That is terrifying. But then there's the human side too, right? The sources say phishing is way more effective against remote workers.
Oh, absolutely. In the office, you're usually behind this. Call it a protective umbrella of corporate web filtering. The company blocks bad sites, filters sketchy emails.
Right.
At home, that umbrella is gone. You're much more likely to click that link that looks legit but isn't. You're on your own.
The report also mentions shadow IT. I've heard that term thrown around, usually by angry IT guys.
Yeah.
What does it mean for a remote worker?
Shadow IT is basically a result of friction. So our accountant needs to send a huge file to a client, but the company email server says, nope, file too big.
Deadline's looming.
Exactly. So what do? They Google free large file transfer.
And they upload sensitive financial documents to some random website.
And there it is. That's shadow IT. The company has no idea that data is now sitting on a server in another country, completely unsecured.
Yeah.
Its employees just trying to get their job done, but creating massive vulnerabilities.
The core issue here really seems to be a loss of control, a loss of visibility.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, we have the problem. The living room is the new front line. Let's pivot to the solutions. Layer one seems to be about the connection itself, the tunnel.
Right, VPNs. But we have to be really clear here. When most people hear VPN, they think of their consumer app that lets them watch Netflix from another country.
Yeah, the consumer stuff.
That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about an enterprise-managed VPN.
That's the real difference.
Control. And configuration. An enterprise VPN creates a specific military-grade encrypted tunnel from the laptop directly to the corporate network. It wraps every single piece of data in code that's basically impossible to crack.
So even if the man in the middle is sitting on the Wi-Fi,
all they see is scrambled garbage. It's unintelligible without the key.
Okay, but here's the pushback I always hear from employees. Mm-hmm. If I have this heavy-duty VPN on my laptop, does that mean my boss sees everything I do? If my kid plays a game on it, is that traffic going through the corporate server?
That's the valid fear, and it's why split tunneling is such a critical feature now.
Explain that.
Split tunneling is just what it sounds like. The VPN client is smart. It looks at the traffic. If you're trying to access the company's financial software, okay, that goes through the secure encrypted tunnel.
And if I'm on YouTube.
That goes straight out to the normal internet. It doesn't touch the corporate network. It separates the streams.
So it creates two lanes, a secure one for work, a normal one for everything else.
Exactly. It protects the data without killing the user experience or creating privacy issues.
That seems like the only way it would actually work. Okay, what about the machine itself? The sources are really against BYD. Bring your own device.
It's a security trap. I mean, it seems cheap up front, but it's incredibly expensive when something goes wrong.
Why, though? If I have a new MacBook with a good password, what's the risk?
The risk is everything else on that machine. You're the administrator. You might have installed some pirated software that has a keylogger baked into it. The company has zero visibility into that.
So when I log into the company portal, that keylogger could be active.
And it's grabbing your corporate password. The gold standard, according to every source, is company-issued hardware.
Because they can control the whole setup.
They control the setup, but more importantly, they can use MDM, Mobile Device Management.
I see that acronym everywhere, MDM.
It sounds a bit like Big Brother, and it kind of is, but it's necessary. MDM lets IT manage that device from anywhere. So you leave your laptop at a coffee shop in Huntington Beach, it gets stolen.
Panic.
Without MDM, yes, panic. With MDM, you call IT, they send a remote wipe command. The next time that laptop connects to any internet, anywhere, it destroys itself. It scrubs the hard drive clean.
Wow. So a data breach becomes just a hardware loss.
That's the goal. And MDM also forces updates. You know how you always click remind me tomorrow?
Every single time.
MDM takes away that button. It just says, nope, we're patching this now.
Okay, so secure the pipe with a VPN, secure the machine with MDM. But then there's this second layer of solutions, which feels bigger, more philosophical. Zero trust architecture.
It sounds cynical, right? Zero trust.
A little bit, yeah.
But in security, cynicism is good. The old model was implicit trust. Think of it like a castle with a moat. It's really hard to get across the moat, but once you're inside, we assume you're friendly and you can go anywhere.
And that's bad. Because if one bad guy gets across,
they own the entire castle. Zero trust flips that on its head. It assumes the bad guys are already inside the castle.
So how does that work in practice?
It means never trust, always verify. Every single time you try to do anything, you have to prove who you are again.
So for our accountant, it's not just logging in once in the morning.
No, you log in at 8 a.m. Then at 10 a.m., you try to open the payroll system. The system checks again. Is this still you? Is your device still secure? Are you where you're supposed to be?
And this connects to microsegmentation. I like the visual for this.
It's the submarine analogy. If one part of a submarine's hull is breached, the whole thing doesn't flood because it's sealed off into compartments.
Watertight doors.
Exactly. Microsegmentation puts those watertight doors inside your digital network. So if a hacker steals your email password, they get in into your email. That's it. They try to move to the financial database, doors locked. HR records, doors locked. It contains the damage.
And the systems are getting smarter. The sources talk about behavioral analytics. This sounds like AI.
It is. Traditional security looks for known bad files. Behavioral analytics just looks for weirdness, anomalies. Our accountant normally works 9 to 5 from Irvine. Suddenly, on a Saturday at 3 a.m., that same account logs in from an IP address in Russia and tries to download the entire customer database.
The system doesn't need to know what the attack is to know that's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. The AI just says, whoa, that is not normal, and slams the door shut automatically without waiting for a human to wake up.
I want to zoom out for a second. We've talked a lot about the tech, but there's a huge legal piece to this for business owners, right? This isn't just about good practice.
This is the so what for the people signing the checks. Think about the industries in Orange County. Healthcare providers in Santa Ana, they're bound by HIPAA. Defense contractors in Anaheim, CMMC compliance.
Linance in Newport Beach has SEC and FIRA.
Right. And here's the kicker. Working remotely in an unsecured way is often a direct violation of those laws. Transmitting patient data over an open home Wi-Fi isn't just risky. You are actively non-compliant at that moment.
That you're breaking the law before you even get hacked.
Yes. And then you have California's own CCPA, the Consumer Privacy Act. It requires privacy by design.
What does that mean in simple terms?
It means you have to prove you built your systems to be secure from the start. You can't just slap security on later. If you end up in court and have to admit your team was using routers with default passwords,
you're done.
You're going to lose. It's a massive business risk.
So if I'm listening to this and starting to sweat a little bit, what's the first step? The source from TechnGN lays out a 5-step roadmap.
Yeah, it's a good one. Step one is assessment. You can't fix what you can't see. Do a full audit. Find out where all the holes are.
Find the shadow IT. Find the unupdated routers.
Got it. Step two is policies. The boring but essential part. You have to write down the rules of the road. You cannot use your personal iPad for work. Put it in writing.
Step three.
Infrastructure. That's the big build. Deploy the managed VPNs. Set up the identity systems.
Then step four is hardware.
Right. Get those company-issued lockdown laptops out there. Get MDM installed. And the Wild West of personal devices.
And the last one, step five, seems critical. Monitoring.
You need a SOC, a security operations center. You need people watching the screens 24/7.
Why 247?
Because hackers don't take weekends off. An attack that starts at midnight on a Saturday needs to be stopped at 12.01, not on Monday morning when the damage is already done.
It sounds like a big investment.
It is. But you compare it to the cost of a data breach, which is in the millions, not even counting the damage to your reputation. It's just the cost of doing business now.
It's like electricity or rent. It's just a utility.
Exactly.
So to wrap this all up, the perimeter is gone. The comfortable home office is actually the most dangerous entry point into a modern business.
That's the takeaway. Remote work is amazing. It offers so much flexibility, but you absolutely have to lock it down.
It definitely makes me look at my own router a little differently. I think I might actually go check for an update after this.
You really, really should.
But before we sign off, I have this one last thought. We spent this whole deep dive talking about how to rebuild the walls, how to secure the connection to the company network.
Right.
But if the perimeter is really gone and we're moving to the zero trust model where every action is verified and data lives in the cloud, does a company network even exist anymore? Or are we just becoming a collection of verified people with certain permissions floating in the cloud?
That is a really interesting question. You're right. If the walls are gone, maybe the network is just the identities and the data. The location, the physical network, maybe it's becoming an obsolete concept.
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you next time.